This episode is brought to you by Skillz, the world leader in mobile esports. Play the games you love and win real cash prizes. Go to Skillz with a Z, SKILLZ.com/frogpants for your iOS or Android device. That's Skillz with a Z, and download your favorite free games. When you make a deposit, Skillz will double it. And when you use the promo code frogpants, you'll get an additional $10 in free bonus cash. That's Skillz.com/frogpants. Coming up on TMS, movies are hard for people.
Mechs and minions are cool for people.
No more Zsa Zsa.
Aw, flaming hot snack food.
That's not a frozen lady.
Really old burger.
It's a really old burger. Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
For over 100 years, we've been scrunching and folding toilet paper. Finally, there's a better way.
They haven't even started cooking yet.
Now, it's here. New force at breakfast. This is The Morning Stream.
Didn't exactly work the way it was supposed to. Welcome to my life, everybody. Hey, it's The Morning Stream, TMS to be short. Oh, look at all the TMSs in the chat room. It makes me feel good to hear that.
Love
and see that in the morning.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. It's me, Scott Johnson, with him, Brian Ibbett. And good morning, Brian. What's going on?
Hello. Not a lot's going on. You know, just coming off of a very busy weekend and happy to be back.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. Got Christmas this week, all sorts of family stuff and all that. I was thinking yesterday or today that I'm very excited for this week, but also I'm really pushing and pulling for Tina this week. Yes. She's going to have the go under the knife. And
by all accounts,
it's looking good, right? Like a nice procedural thing that should be all good at the end.
We believe so, yeah. And so the surgery is Wednesday. The surgeon is confident that it's all in a well, easy to remove state.
Yeah.
The cancer is. She is going to have some radiation afterwards, and after they kind of biopsy the lymph nodes, they'll determine whether or not she has to have chemo. But
right, I really hope not. I don't want that for her.
I hope not too. Yeah, that's.
Although I keep hearing they're better than ever these days with like controlling all the side effects and stuff. Like that's supposed to be better than ever, but still, man.
Sure. Well, you know, the addition of the flavors, right? You know, there's all the flavors of chemo that you can get. You know, different strawberry chemo and.
Yeah,
pumpkin spice chemo, and
they took a page from the dental book and said, "How about some additional flavors?"
So your dentist does that too when they brush your teeth after a cleaning. They like give you a choice of a bunch of different flavors of toothpaste, and it seems like chocolate is always the one they're trying to foist on me.
Yeah, and it's the worst thing you should ever put in your
horrible.
Mouth. Yeah, it's awful.
It's like rubbing my teeth with Oreos.
Yeah, like frothy, warm Oreo water. It's not good. It's a very bad thing. So don't do that. I would highly recommend against it. Also, they do that with the fluoride treatments. They're always like, oh, the bubble gum is very popular.
Oh, yes,
but
right.
But they all taste like pig vomit. They never taste like anything. They're bad.
Yeah.
They're bad.
Yeah.
So quit doing that, Dennis.
No, take the... Make the pumpkin spice needs to just be the flavor that everything becomes, right? Yeah. Have we not learned that
I'd
just
be down with
pumpkin
that.
Spice toothpaste and pumpkin spice?
I'd be totally down with that. Are you kidding me?
Pumpkin spice must flow.
There's different flavors that you can get.
Great. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Rogue One happened. We're not going to spoil it, although watch episode 4 and it'll spoil it, but whatever.
Yeah, right. If you want to know what happens in Rogue One, watch the beginning of A New Hope.
Yeah, if you're concerned about where things might end up, I think maybe you already know. Anyway, saw that, loved it, totally loved it. Justin Robert Young and a few other of my friends did not like it. In fact, they have a great distaste for it. So today on Hotline Monday, you're going to find out what that's about.
Okay with that. I'm okay. You know what? I respect all. I love all. If you liked it, great. If you didn't like it, great.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be here to try and change your mind.
I really liked it. And I'll say it again. Yeah, I have a reason and I'll say why. Here's my reason. Because that movie, like the first one when I was a kid, showed me a bunch of stuff I didn't expect or have seen before. Whereas episode 7, as much as I like 7, 7 was kind of a known quantity. It was going to kind of bring us back up to date with the story we already know. We weren't going to see a lot of things that kind of made our minds go, whoa, look at this. But there's weird stuff in Rogue One is all I'm saying. And I like weird stuff in Star Wars. So that's my biggest
reason. There really is. I know. I want to learn more about that place. The
that one place. You know the place? You know the one. I know which one you're talking about.
I want to know more about that sandy place.
Yeah, there's a sandy place. Every Star Wars movie has a sandy place, except for, I guess, 5 didn't have a sandy place. But think about it. All the other movies, they had a sandy planet, sandy place. Mm-hmm. And this has two.
I want to learn more about that one.
This one has two sandy places. You want to live in the one that you're talking about, right? Like you want to go hang out there and vacation at the one sandy place. Is that what you're saying?
No, maybe we are talking about a different sandy place. I'll have to call into Hotline Monday.
You don't want a vacation at that beautiful sandy place?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. The Maldives.
Yeah, sure. That's a beautiful place.
Except that's where they filmed it.
Yeah, except that they have a whole bunch of shitty Enterprise. They have a bunch of shitty Empire stuff there.
So yes, that place. I wouldn't call that a sandy place. I call that,
It's a beachy place. Hey, there you go. You got 99 problems in the beach ain't
sandy,
one.
Yes, but it's a beach, Beaches also imply with the sand you get water.
Gotcha.
All right. With places like Tatooine, you get sand.
Yeah. And there is a...
It gets in everything.
They're in the TMS Slack group. There's a big spoilery thread for people if they want to go talk about this movie. So go at it and have fun. But I thought the movie was super rad. I really enjoyed it. Saw it with the kids, and Taylor and Dylan were there, and Kim and I, and we had great seats. And here's the problem. I had a Brian moment, and I was really worried.
I can't wait. And I'm excited about this because I had a Brian moment too, but I want to hear about your Brian moment first.
All right. Brian moment number one for Scott was this. I usually have a pretty good luck at movie theaters. Don't really have a lot of loud people or whatever. Sitting right behind us was a girl probably 17 or 18, a little older, but also probably maybe, I don't want to be generalized here, but she's probably a little bit on the scale, a little Asperger-y, okay? And that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem. I don't mind that. But she was she was in this very loud voice sort of mood. And when we sat down to watch it during all of the trailers and the previews and the commercials and stuff, she was this loud. So here's her behind us. And she's in full Jedi clothes, by the way, with a lightsaber. So she's going all out. And she's sitting behind us. This is Thursday night at 10, about 10 o'clock that night. And she's back there and I hear, did you know about the scene where Han Solo says, I know, when she says she loves him and he says, I know? And then her friend says, yeah, real quiet. She goes, this is what really happened. She didn't really say that to the camera. What happened was he went over to talk to one of the producers and they said, you need to be ready to go down into a hole because you're going to go into a hole and be frozen. And he says, I know. And they filmed it and they kept it. And I wanted to turn around and go, no, that isn't what happened at all. There's a whole... Yeah. There is an entire commentary track about this from George Lucas himself where he explains it. So if you want to go hear that.
Right.
But I didn't. I held my tongue. It's fine.
You sat in front of fake news, which has been the thing of 2016, right? The two-word phrase of 2016, fake news, and you sat right in front of fake news.
I did. Fake news herself was right behind us. And she did it for another 10, 15 minutes before things got started. And all of them were loud. Like, what I really hope is that Rey shows up. And I wanted to turn around and go, Rey isn't born for another like 35 years or something.
Right.
But I didn't. And then she says, if she did, it would be so cool because then we would have Rey in this movie. And her friend goes, okay, we need to shush. Her friend was trying to shut her up. She goes, I'm just so excited. Maybe Rey will be. And like, she just kept talking about Rey being in it. Mm. Oh, and then she said, this is my favorite part. She goes, you know, that black guy from The Matrix is in this. And I went, my head went, what? Lawrence Fishburne? She goes, yeah, he's totally in this. He's the one that makes you take the blue pill. He's totally in this movie. And her friend goes, really? Okay, that's interesting. And I wanted to turn around and go, no, it's not Lawrence Fishburne. All black actors aren't the same guy. Anyway.
Did she also do an interview with Samuel L. Jackson a few years where she confused him with, who did she, I guess it was, Lawrence Fishburne, right? That guy, there was a guy who did it, was doing an interview with, with Samuel L. Jackson and says, you're doing a great job with those credit card commercials, but it wasn't the Capital One ones. It was ones that Lawrence Fishburne had during the Super Bowl.
Yep.
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That interview. I think we played part of it here on the show.
I think we probably did, yeah.
But yeah, I was like, no. Well, who's the guy? Now I can't think of the name of the guy who's in it.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker is who
I was. The one in this one is Forrest Whitaker.
I wanted to turn around and go, Forrest Whitaker! And I didn't.
No, this is Crying Game. This is Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So the whole thing goes on like this. And so Kim and I are both going, oh my gosh, dude. If this is the whole movie, we are screwed. Like, we're really worried about what's going to happen. And as soon as the Lucasfilm thing came up, she goes, yeah, like that. And then as soon as the long ago in a thing far away, I hear her go, wee-hee-wee. So she's doing that two times in a row. And then the third thing, I'm just bracing for it, is right. When this crawl happens. Well, as it has been widely known, there is no crawl in this movie. They decided not to have a text crawl at the beginning of a Star Wars film. Weird.
Totally fine with that.
Totally fine with it too.
I thought it would weird me out. Did not weird me out one bit.
I noticed it, but it didn't weird me out. This girl, however, goes,
oh no.
Hey! Where's the crawl? And I went, oh my gosh, it's begun. It's 2 hours of this. Everybody tuck in. And then up to my surprise and my happiness, she never made another peep through the movie.
Oh, thank goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I got lucky at the end there.
Okay. I thought there were moments where I would have expected her to be like, whoa.
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll admit, I got good at ignoring her, but sometimes she would repeat a line. You know those people that repeat lines? I had that one in Vegas that was like this, where someone will say, oh, that's a funny looking droid. And she'll go, that's a funny looking droid, they'll say. Back there. That happened a couple of times, but it wasn't too bad. And so by the end of it, we were like, okay, whew, we got away with it. And that in the credits is the best part. Here's your topper, right? The credits happen, they're going, and she yells, I can't wait to go in my office tomorrow and spoil everybody on everything that happened in this movie. And she's yelling it. She's yelling it. And I'm thinking, oh, that poor office. Who are these poor people? Anyway, it's fine. Look, it's fine. Some people have got their quirks. It's fine. You move on. It's just kind of a bummer when you're trying to watch a movie. And thankfully, most of the movie, fine. It was fine. So I watched it.
Well, the fact that you're saying that she might have had Asperger's makes me feel like I can't, I
don't know if she does or not.
I
can't diagnose her. I don't know. I have idea. Sure. She may just be annoying, and this is just her, and it's got nothing to do with anything you could clinically say about her. I just had to have that. I had to have that Scott moment, or that moment where I had to talk to myself to say, Scott, she's probably got a thing.
How does Brian get through these? How does Brian deal with this?
Yeah, what does Brian do? What would Brian do? I kept saying, what would Brian do? And then I kept thinking, would he turn around and stare? Would he throw popcorn behind him? Like, what would you do?
I might have. So you had your brand experience.
I did.
I had my brand experience. But in this case, I think I was the Brian. I think I was the instigator instead of the instigatee.
Well, you wrote here. I'm going to read what Brian wrote. He says, you either become the movie theater hero or you live long enough to become the villain. I really like where this is going. So explain.
Yeah. So, all right. So, bought tickets like the hour that they went on sale. We were in middle of raid. It was perfectly timed with our 10 o'clock break. So Tetsemi says, all right, Star Wars tickets are on sale in 5 minutes. So we're taking our break now and we'll come back afterwards. And we all came back and we're like, yeah, I got mine. Okay, got mine. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going right to the theater that has it's further away. It's actually down by the Spags. It's further away, but it's got the reserved seats. It's got the recliners.
Yeah.
It's got, that's what I want. I don't want to, this will be the first Star Wars movie I didn't stand in line for. And I'm okay with that. Sure. I think I'm old enough to now say I don't need to stand in line for a Star Wars movie.
Did you, and you guys went with the Spags? Do you guys all go together?
We did not. No. Okay. All right. So we bought six tickets, six seats all in a row.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know exactly who was going to be with us. I expected, you know, it was going to be George and Barb, my uncle and his wife, because George and I always see the Star Wars movies together. Every Star Wars movie we've seen the premiere together. So I figured, all right, well, it's definitely gonna be him. And then I had two extras that I figured, well, I know there are going to be a bunch of people who say, hey, are we going to go see Star Wars? And I'll just say, oh, okay, yeah, you'll get those extra two tickets.
Right. That makes sense.
So sure enough, I, you know, let George know. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm totally in. And I kind of just wait a little while with the other two tickets. I bump into my buddy Don during trivia. He says, are you going to go see Star Wars opening night? I'm like, oh, yeah, I am. He says, well, have you already got tickets? I said, I do. And I actually do have two extras. Like, well, I don't know if you're saving them for someone else. If you are, that's totally cool. But if you aren't, then let me know and we can, you know, and me and my buddy Mike will join you.
You'll like, find, all right, yeah, I think, definitely going to find homes for those tickets. No problem.
No problem whatsoever. Yeah, right. And so he says, yeah, if you don't have anybody else you're giving them to, then let me know. He and I will use it. Otherwise, we'll go to this other theater that blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, cool. About 2 days later, my uncle calls me and says, hey, do you have two extra tickets for my daughter? You know, she's come to every movie since the prequels for Star Wars. I'm like, oh, yeah, she has. And I said, well, I do have two extra tickets, but I kind of already talked to Don about maybe giving them to him.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, but I said, well, Don was noncommittal about it, so I might be able to give them to Maddie.
Okay.
Not an hour later, I get a text from Don. All right, we're totally in for Star Wars. We're excited about seeing it with you guys. And
like, oh man! Crap.
So now I've got six tickets, and I've got eight people who want to use them.
Wow! All right.
So I think to myself, all right, well, here's a solution. I'm going to jump into Fandango. I'm going to just see if I can get a couple more tickets, and then the problem is solved. There won't be together. It won't be all six, but we're in a dark theater. Who cares if they're not all together? Pop open Fandango, go to the theater, go to the 7 o'clock showing.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, there are still two tickets. There's still a few scattered tickets available. There's a bunch of single seats all over the place, but second row back, which is where we sat for Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
There was two tickets on the end. I'm like, or two in from the end. I'm like, oh, perfect. These are great. Totally doing them.
Right.
So I buy those two tickets.
Makes sense.
And I immediately text George and I say, hey, your daughter's in. She and her boyfriend are coming to our show. And then I text Don and say, great. We're happy to have you come to the show with us. Great. Everybody's happy. Eight tickets. Boom.
Oh, no.
We get to the theater. We go. The ticket guy looks at my phone. He says, all right, enjoy your movie. You guys are in Theater One. Great. No problem. We start walking over to Theater One. We have a blanket we brought because it's the recliner seat.
Yeah.
And you can flip up the little armrest and you can put on a blanket just to make sure that you fall asleep.
Yeah.
And we go over there. It's like, oh, 3D? No, that's not right. No, we didn't get 3D tickets. And then I look at the Fandango thing and it says, no, Theater Four. So we figure, okay, the guy just told us the wrong theater.
Sure.
So we go over to Theater Four. We go up to our set of six seats. George's daughter and her boyfriend and Don and his friend are still in the concession stand. So it's me and Tina and George and Barb, and we're sitting down there. And we've kind of already decided that just because she chimed in kind of late, George's daughter was going to get those second row seats and we'd all be kind of in the back middle.
Yeah.
No problem.
Right.
And everybody agreed to it. She's like, oh, that's totally fine. I'm just happy to be able to see it. So, Don comes in and he and his friend sit next to us. So we've got our seats, six seats filled. And then I see Maddie and her boyfriend going down to that second row.
Yeah.
And they get down there and then they stop. And then they look back up at me.
Yeah.
Kind of confused. And so I go down there. She's like, there's some people in our seats. I'm like, oh no problem here. And I give her my phone to go show them. See here, you guys are sitting in the wrong seat. She goes, takes my phone, shows them. I see the guy I'm sitting. I'm standing in that kind of walkway in the middle.
Yeah.
And she, you know, I see her showing them my phone. I see the guy reaching down to his pocket, pulling out his phone and then showing it to her.
Oh no.
And then she looks at hers and she looks at his and she kind of shrugs and she walks back over to me and says, no, his say the same seats. And I grab my phone back from, I look at it. No, they're in Theater One. They're in the 3D showing. The 7 p.m. 3D showing. Those people are in the correct seats. I'm like, oh, crap.
So you got 3D tickets then, right?
Yeah. So Fandango doesn't say, you've already got tickets to this showing.
Right.
Do you want to buy more tickets in this theater? No, it just says, oh, 7 o'clock showing. Boom, here's a theater.
Really?
And I didn't see that it was 3D.
Oh, no. Yeah. But wait, was it all of you or just some of the tickets?
No, 3D? It was just those two in the second row. Oh. So basically, we sent George's daughter and her boyfriend over to Theater One. They saw it in 3D, second row back in a big old screen.
Was it fine? Did they like it? Or I mean,
they liked the movie. We met up with them afterwards. And like, yeah, we kept getting kind of nauseous because it was a big screen and we were kind of close up and it was 3D. So we kept having to take our glasses off in some parts. I'm like, oh crap.
Oh, that sucks.
So I said, all right, don't worry. Tickets are on me. I'll pay for you guys. It was like a Love Connection. I'm like Chuck Woolery here. If you want to go see it again, we'll take care of it.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. Well, you weren't annoying to people. You were just,
I was annoying to the people who had to, you know, that she had to show the tickets to argue. I didn't even do it myself. I sent her to go, you know, say, no, these are our seats. You guys get out.
That's amazing. All right.
I wasn't obnoxious in the theater, but I was the guy who screwed up the movie experience.
Well, listen, there are worse things in this life than that. I think
totally.
You...
She got to see the damn movie on opening night at 7 o'clock. Sure, it was in 3D, and she was recovering from having her tonsils taken out 2 days before and was all nauseous. But come on.
Yeah, but how do they? So how was the movie supposed to? I mean, it's one of those retroactive 3D things. It wasn't filmed in 3D, right? So I wonder how the transfer was or how the
I don't know
conversion was, because sometimes that's really bad, and sometimes, like Doctor Strange, it's really good. So
you
I don't
sure
know.
It wasn't filmed in 3D? Like this was
as far as I know, it wasn't.
Oh, wow.
They usually will tell you. They'll usually make a big deal out of it if it is. But I don't think anybody's... Okay, this is totally me out of my butt talking here.
Of course.
Chat room, you guys can clarify this.
This is Scott's fake news.
Fake news, everybody. I don't think that anybody shoots in 3D anymore that, for the most part, there's probably some exceptions, but for the most part, nobody's going straight 3D filming at the time they do it, because... Mm-hmm. 3D, it didn't end up being the money suck everybody thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
So right.
There was a time a few years ago where everything was shot in 3D, and I know what you're saying.
Okay, there it is. Dead Polymer says the 3D wasn't anything special, felt like it was an afterthought. So
okay, interesting.
There you go. Yes, Eric Muller.
Is that the difference between just 3D and quote unquote real 3D?
Well, I don't think so. Real 3D and the other 3D, there's two. Mm-hmm. They're just two standards.
It's just different brands. Yeah, it's not like okay.
One pair of glasses will not work in the other theater, so you have to have, since there's not one standard. If you go to a real 3D showing versus I don't know what the other one's called, your glasses wouldn't work if you swapped glasses. So it's a little annoying, but whatever. Rogue One was a conversion.
Man.
Yeah.
Did you see the Rogue One 3D glasses?
No.
TVZ Gun, I think, just posted a link to...
Go
Royals just posted a link. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. Chat room, you got to see these if you can't see them. Hold on. In case you're not in the chat, let me just pull this up. Look at these.
They look like... Stormtrooper visors, really, really cool.
Okay, now I kind of wish I had seen it.
I know, just to get that, right?
Yeah. Did your friends get this? Did the daughter
get
this?
Okay. No, at least if they did, they certainly didn't show us. They weren't coming out of the theater with those on the top of their heads. So
that's really
I'm
cool.
guessing they got the crappy kind you throw back in the bin afterwards.
That's really cool. Okay.
Schleicher saw it in 3D, so we will ask him about it when he comes on later for Major Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. The last movie I saw that was filmed in 3D, I didn't see it in 3D, but it was filmed in 3D, was one of the Hobbit movies. And I'm pretty sure Peter Jackson's all in on that. So is what's his name? Avatar Man. What's his name? James Cameron. I'm pretty sure he does everything in 3D now. But I'm just saying, most movies, they just convert them. And it's kind of shitty. It's not great. So I don't see them. Plus, I don't like 3D anyway. They kind of makes me feel weird, and I don't like it. So F off 3D.
I'll do it for a Pixar film, and that's about it.
Speaking of Pixar, no, not really. Hey, tell me about Mechs and Minions. That's a game you bought a long time ago and finally got it. And I was at the time kind of jealous and thought, ooh, this is something I should look at. And then I forgot. So what's the deal?
Yeah, that was the thing. It was one that Dan the Tabletop Man told us about on a TMS PM, and he was telling us all about this game from Riot Games, the guys who make League of Legends, coming out with this game called Mechs and Minions. And And he says, yeah, it's not available yet, but it'll go on sale like a week from Tuesday at 11 a.m. And so I kind of forgot about it too, but I had the tab open in my browser. And that morning I was flipping over. I'm like, oh, there's the tab. Oh my God, it's going on sale in like 5 minutes. So I decided to wait, and I jumped on it and bought it. And that again was what, back in September, October, when we were talking to him about it.
Yeah.
We'd forgotten about it. So it arrived on Friday, and I showed you the box it arrived in. It is no exaggeration to say that this thing is, it's the size of a VCR box that you might have gotten in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is,
I like
it
that.
Is 2 feet wide by like, you know, a foot and a half deep and super thick. There's so much stuff in this, and it's so, so beautifully sculpted. And
how complicated is it? And like, am I going to get into this thing and go, duh, these rules, bruh, we're going to be here all day? Like, what is that? Is it that kind of game?
No. I don't think so. There's a little bit of like, oh, wait, what do we do in this case? But for the most part, it is a, basically you control your mech with a series of commands, and it executes all those commands sequentially before you go to the next player. So, you're drawing cards. The cards will say either go forward, turn left, turn right, shoot. And you arrange them in a six spot grid in front of you, a six slot command center in front of you. You put them in whatever order you want them in, but they stay in that order. So you may say, okay, I got a card for go straight. I'm going to put that in slot number one. So every time it's your turn, your mech is automatically going to start by going straight one space.
Right.
No matter where it is on the board.
Okay.
And, you know, you'll have a turn right. I'll put this here. I'll have a shoot. I'll put this over here. And then it always executes those commands. That's the base of the game. There's a bunch of extra little rules that do, you know, make it a little bit more challenging and strategic. We played with Tristan. Tina and I played with Tristan and Simon, kid who's staying with us.
Yeah.
And we had such a great time. It was like right up until raid time that I was like, all right, we gotta stop. I gotta go to raid. And it's a cooperative game as opposed to a competitive game. So you're working with all the other players to destroy all the minions on the battlefield with your four mechs.
I like that. I like cooperative.
It is a blast. It is such a good time. And we said, we're playing this tomorrow night, right? They're like, yep, we're playing it tonight.
Oh, that's great.
So we're playing a little more tonight.
So, so the world, though, that it's based on is the League of Legends world, right?
Apparently is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Never having played a League of Legends game, I can't speak to its veracity, but yeah, I believe the four main mechs are characters you get in League of Legends.
Yeah, this is interesting. It says in this review I'm reading on Shut Up and Sit Down, it says mechs versus minions, blah blah blah. I was delighted to get it. My postman was less than delighted, as there is a bit of walk from the road to my front door, and the game weighs 12.8 pounds plus a bit of packaging. He says that is more than a newborn child.
Wow. That's so true.
Wow.
It is a big box of stuff. But okay. It is.
You make me want to get this. What's minimum players? Two, three, four? What is it?
I don't know. It's funny. We had four. I think four is the maximum for sure. You only get four mechs, so you're using four. You might be able to do this with two or three, but
all right. I'm into this, man. I want to get it.
I imagine if you do two players, you probably can have somebody control two mechs. You can have each of you control two mechs.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I don't know. I got to give them credit for not just making a straight up League of Legends thing and slapping the name on it and having it be kind of crappy or whatever. Like, this sounds like they really went overboard on a very interesting game all in its own.
And right. Schleicher says between two and four players. So,
okay.
So you can play it as a two or three player game as well as four.
I'm all into.
You're going to want four. You're going to want you, Kim, Carter, and Nick all playing this thing and ripping it up.
All right. Maybe this weekend. Now, how do I get it? I can't, right? It's backordered everywhere, right? I can't buy this now.
I have no idea. Somebody linked to the League of Legends page. I wonder if there's, can you order this thing on Amazon?
Amazon is late with everything I've ordered from them, by the way. They are late with three different orders. I was supposed to get something Friday. It never showed up. It says it was on the truck. It didn't come on Saturday. Now it says it's still on the truck and will be delivered by 8 today. So I don't know what is going on with these people, but it's driving me nuts. Okay, this item is only available from third-party sellers. What sellers are there? We can get them. Oh my gosh, $249. Yeah, we're at that. Oh, we're at that stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at that stage.
Don't do that.
All right. If anyone has one and is trying to unload it, I'll pay shipping and buy it from you
for a retail price.
Yeah, then, for yeah, retail exactly. price, not for $300 freaking. You.
Yeah, it looks like you got to buy it directly from Riot Games.
All right. Well, maybe I'll do that. Are they out? Does it say? I wonder.
It doesn't say.
Mechs versus Minions. I'm just gonna see. It's right here, League of Legends there. Okay, hold on. Okay, here it is. Cooperative thing. Okay, how do I purchase now? There we go. I hit purchase, and it's $75. Wave 1, shipment 2, it says.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound good. That makes me nervous. what'd you pay? $75? Does that sound right?
I paid $75, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll look at this after the show. No one wants to hear me order something on a radio show.
Yeah, shipment 2, according to Captain Kipper, shipment 2 of Mechs vs. Minions is estimated to start shipping in mid-December. So
could
looks
be
like if you order it now, it should ship pretty quickly.
Okay. All right, you got you me won't going.
I don't think you're
going
to get it before the weekend, but...
You got me going, man. But, thanks to you, I bought Pokemon Moon, and thanks to you, I might buy this. And thanks to
only
you.
Only fair because look at all the games that you've talked me into getting.
That's true. It's a nice little payback. But also because of you and because I was playing Pokemon Moon, I found out that there's a Animal Crossing New Leaf patch out, which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard for a 2012 game. And it's awesome. It's great. I can sit on rocks and I can shake trees without putting my tool away, which doesn't make sense to anyone who doesn't play that game. But...
I'm making some apples, growing apples.
I got apples.
I can sell to the...
So I'm all back up in New Leaf, man. I don't know what my deal is. All right. Hey, we should play a game. We've put you guys off long enough. The number is 801-895-4724. That's the number, 801-895-4724. It's a chance for us to stump Daryl, who I guess is around. I don't know. I'm going to try to see. Why is my dog barking? Rainer, frick. Oh my gosh, she's going to drive me nuts. Anyway, I have now cleared the lines. You are now welcome to call. Let's get that happening. We'll get Daryl in here, make this happen. Come on, Daryl. There you go. Daryl, hey, what's going on?
I don't know. What is going on?
I don't know. Is the thing still not working with the deal? The AGR?
It's working, yeah.
You've heard us on AGR? No problem?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, a phone call is coming in, but for some reason, Skype wants me to answer it, not add it to this call. So that's a real poop. Hold on.
No.
Let's see if I can do this. Can I just add it? Oh my gosh, this is going to irritate the hell out of me. All right, I'll come back to you guys. Hang on. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Devin Selms.
Oh, well, hello. How are you?
Good.
That's great. I'm going to add, I got to add those chuckleheads back to this call because... This is dumb and didn't work the way it was supposed to. So hold on a second here.
Okay.
Daryl, there he is. And then Ibbot. Okay. All right. Here they come. We're bringing him in. Sorry, what'd you say your name was again?
Devin. I'm Devin C. Films in the chat. Petpool.
All right, sweet. I'm going to put you down as that. All right. We'll get these other two back in here. I'm going to pop Devin something, Shield something on the show. I just wrote Devin because I got five things going on at once. It'll work for now. But hey, welcome to the show, Devin. We're calling Daryl back. We're going to make this happen for real, and you're going to get to have a little bit of fun with us. Here's the theme. All right. Hey, it's time to stump Daryl, and that's a chance for us to ask weird questions of Daryl Skills, who is not answering his phone now because this is all messed up. We'll try that again. Hey, good news, though, Brian. Good news.
What's that? A
couple things going on. Skype announced video, Slack announced video coming very soon.
Yes.
We already talked about that. However, even in more interesting and fun news, there's rumors that even anytime now, you might get video from our friends at Discord. So we got lots of options coming our way real fast. And finally,
people are saying, if Skype's not going to do anything to improve their offerings, why don't we start offering it in our chat services? And
yeah, took you long enough.
See if we can just lap them.
You slow slackers. Daryl, are you there?
I'm finally here.
Yes, you're here for real now. Skype's being very uncooperative today. All right, let's get...
I felt like Dr. What's her name in the collapsing universe for a while.
Oh, where the... Wait, Dr. Crusher, where the people started disappearing? Oh, yeah. I love that one. That's a great one.
Dr. Crusher, right. Yeah, TMS has never needed more than one person to operate it.
Yeah, and by the end, the computer thinks it's just her, and she's just in the bridge, and that's all there is in the universe. That's a great episode. Oh, my gosh. Such a good episode. Yeah. All right, Daryl, you know what the deal is. Let's do this. Brian, why don't you explain the rules, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Devin, who I haven't even heard yet, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question in just a moment. And Daryl is going to give his answer, and then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win your choice of either a red and orange fidget revolution or a red and white fidget revolution, because that's all I have left. All courtesy of fidgetrevolution.com and Jose Chambrot.
Yeah.
By the way, Stump Daryl is brought to you by Hotline Monday, where you and Jury are just going to go nuts on Rogue One.
Yeah, let me give you a hint. Jury hated it. I loved it. That's all you need to know. We're going to be full spoilers, totally open wound. We're going to do this at 3 o'clock Mountain Time today. That's 2 p.m. Pacific right here at this stream. So check back with us today, and you please, can join in.
Please somehow work in a Jane, you ignorant slut.
All right.
Point, counterpoint.
I'm
See if you can work one of those in.
I'm in. Totally. That sounds great. All right. Let's get to the question at hand. What's our topic, Brian?
Our topic today is... You'll come to the coast, you'll have a few laughs, you watch Die Hard.
Die Hard. The finest Christmas film ever made.
Totally is.
So here you go, Daryl. Your question is
this. Daryl. Bubby.
Bubby. Yeah, Bubby. Uh-huh. Die Hard takes place during an office Christmas party. The film takes place in Nakatomi Plaza. The Fox Plaza is the real world building in which the movie was filmed. How many floors are there in the Fox Plaza? And I'll give you a hint. It's under 100. Because I just don't need you saying
under a million.
I just don't want you saying 1,000 and making it too easy on Devin over there.
Right.
I've seen pictures of the actual building.
Devin, you doing all right, by the way? You doing okay over there? I just need to check on Devin.
There.
Okay, just making sure you're good. All right, go
ahead. Hi, Devin.
Go.
Hey.
All right, Daryl. Sorry. You did what? You've seen pictures of the actual Fox Plaza? Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not as big as you'd think.
Yeah, they make it seem enormous, don't they? Like in the movie, it's like billions of floors and lots of unfinished stuff and all that. Yeah.
Right. How long has it been since you've seen it, Daryl?
Probably 5 years.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's too long.
But I kind of remember what it looked like.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say. Let's see. How about I just say 47?
You're going to say 47.
Oh, there you go. It's your perfect Star Trek number right there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, since you don't actually know it anyway. But maybe that's the right answer. Brian, is it?
47 is incorrect. Devin, is the actual answer higher or lower than 47?
Well, from the picture of it I've seen on Die Hard, I believe it's lower.
Lower than 47. Okay. All right. It's supposed to be a big building, but maybe it's lower than 47. Who knows? Let's find out if that's correct. Is it?
Congratulations.
It's correct.
You're a winner.
Brian, I don't think we've had a Fidget Revolution incorrect answer yet, have we?
We have not. Oh. These things have all... None of these have carried over the next day because I haven't had to have a package with two Fidget Revolutions in it.
This is super intense. All right. So the answer is actually 35 floors / stories.
Okay.
Yeah. The building has 35 floors. It also has been used in other films such as Airheads and Fight Club. That's kind of cool. Let me think about the Fight Club.
Is.
Yeah, where were... Okay, so when they're all up high on that window there.
Right, when they're overlooking the cityscape, I think that's the Fox building you see either directly across from them that they're saying is Citibank or
or they're
one
in
of the
it.
Credit card companies.
Maybe they're
or
in
they're
it.
In it.
Yeah,
right.
They could be in it. Maybe they're right by the elevator where he sent the plastic explosive down there.
Wow, does that mean that Tyler Durden had his big fight in the same basement where Argyle runs into the guy who used to be a VH1... no, he's not. He didn't used to be. But he looks like the guy who used to be a VH1 disc jockey.
Well, you're not talking about the guy that looked like Huey Lewis at the security desk, right?
No.
Okay.
No, the hacker guy. The quarterback is toast. That guy.
The one that's
Just like a VJ.
Yeah. He totally does.
Early days of VH1.
Totally does. I like that guy. Yeah. I mean, he whistled a lot and did. He was that trope of like the happy-go-lucky hacker man, and that movie's great. Just get the detonators, everybody. Get the detonators. All right. Well done, Daryl. Good job. You've helped Devin win. Devin, congratulations. If you are in the tadpool today, Brian will get you that, or we'll get all your info. Actually, send him an email, coverville@gmail.com. Yeah, do that.
That's the best way to do it, Devin. Send me an email, and I'll just...
The what? Yep. What'd you say? Ribbit?
I said, yes, I will. I have school and stuff, so I'm not in school a lot, but when I can, I always like to join in.
No, that's good.
Oh, cool. Having you here.
Yeah, you should be in school. Stay in school, man. Get all the good grades and... tell your mom hi. All right, we've hung up on him. He'll email you. Daryl, what's going on, man? What's going on with your weekend? You got Christmas plans? What's happening? Something good?
Oh, something is always good going to happen.
Yeah, all right. Are you...
By the way, really quickly, somebody pulled up the information, the Wikipedia information about the Fox Plaza building that they use for Nakatomi Plaza. One of the building's architects was a guy named Scott Johnson.
Shut up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Dice Tomato, the black guy. Then they were talking about that hint by the dude. All right. Anyway. So let's, Daryl, let's go now. What are we going to do with you? Oh, I know. You're going to play a game with us. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's the Trek Nerd there. So you can follow him there. You can also follow him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Now he'll play a game with us. I have no idea what it is. What is it?
Oh, you have some idea, probably. Oh. I'm going to read, blah, 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 and then I'm going to say, I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the... Why can't I ever do this whole thing just right? Even once. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay. All right, fine.
Please, what? YouTube.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. That was yesterday's. Okay, punished blank.
You had one for yesterday?
Yeah. Well... The last time we did.
Oh,
this.
All right. Like you, you shouldn't make these for Sundays.
Drag out any longer.
Yeah, just don't make these for Sundays. Is all I'm saying. It's a bad idea. We're not
punished,
there then.
Punished blank.
Punished props.
Well, obviously, we'd like it to be punished props, right?
Yeah, we would like that.
Punished dogs.
Oh, geez, it's a sad one.
Like it's people with video where they're berating their dogs. It would be a horrible thing, but
I'm gonna stick with props because I just want I want it to be true so bad that I'm gonna say punish props.
And you didn't choose that one, I would have so choose that.
Okay. Together we have done a great thing this day. Daryl, how'd we do?
Well, the number one response on YouTube for punished blank is punished props.
Oh, no way.
Nice.
That's
good.
Great.
It really
it
is.
Should be.
Oh, that's exactly how it should be. That makes me very happy to hear that. Very nice. Yeah. It did. I wonder if he knows that. I wonder if he knows how early his thing comes up. I don't know. We should find out.
Know.
We'll ask him tomorrow. Cool. Daryl?
Yeah.
Bye.
Go.
Daryl's gone. He's not here anymore. Let's get to the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville Radio. 24 hours of Coverville Radio streaming, all of the 2016 covers. Go there, listen, and rate the songs. You're going to have an impact on how things shape up for the Coverville Countdown at the end of the year. The last two episodes of Coverville, counting down the 40 most popular covers, as voted on by you, visit coverville.com/radio.
Nice. The Hollywood legend... Zsa Zsa Gabor. Didn't she have a sister? What was her sister's name?
She did. Ava Gabor.
Ava Gabor, right. And they were almost identical, right?
They were, yeah. I think they were twins. And
and she already died.
Were they twins? Ava Gabor died several years ago.
Okay. Well, Zsa Zsa Gabor died at age 99. Thanks, 2016. Actually, if you're 99, you're on borrowed time, right? Like, you're about to go anytime anyway. So. Right. The actress Zsa Zsa Gabor.
They were not twins.
Oh, they were
sisters,
not twins.
Sorry.
Okay. But they had that accent and it made them feel like twins, I think.
Right.
The actress Zsa Zsa Gabor has died after suffering a heart attack at age 99. Her husband has confirmed. Is he like a young dude? I wonder. Trying to see. I would love if that guy was like 40.
Hungarian cougar.
Yeah. I want to be like 35-year-old dapper guy or something. But anyway, right. On the point of tears, Frederick von Anhalt told the AFP news agency his wife had passed away at home, surrounded by her friends and family. Everybody was there. She did not die alone, he said. Born in Hungary. Oh, Hungarian, Brian. Yeah. A little Hungarian.
Oh, yeah. No, listening to them is like listening to my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
Seriously. It's that same weird, listen, darling, almost like Ariana Huffington.
Oh, yeah. And she Hungarian, too, right?
Or darling, let me make you some goulash.
Is she Huffgarian? Anyway.
I don't know what Ariana Huffington is. I think she's...
I don't know what she is.
What is... Yeah.
Maybe she is Hungarian. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, she immigrated to the United States during World War II. And made her Hollywood debut in 1952. She was married 9 times.
Greek, by the way, is Ariana Huffington.
Oh,
9 times,
Greek.
Yes.
Okay. 9 times she was married. She appeared in more than 70 films, but was more famous for her celebrity lifestyle. She married at the age of 20, and for the last and longest time, she was nearly 70. What? When she was nearly 70, to the man who outlived her. So she got married when she was 70. That's the deal. By her own reckoning, she was only married 8.5 times. She said she didn't really count a Spanish duke in 1982. It's a weird thing to
that
say.
That doesn't count. I was in Vegas and I was drunk.
I don't count him, darling.
Yeah. Rob in the Cradle, by the way, Frederick Prince von Anhalt is 73.
Oh,
wow,
my.
Like a 27-year age difference between those two. Jeez. But for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like that matters,
nope,
you know?
Nope. You hit a certain threshold, right? I think it's like, I'm going to say that number is like six, like 65 or something, and then nothing. And then who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
You both have the diabetes at that point. A man tried to burn down his ex-girlfriend's house during... with Cheetos, Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Ooh, were they the Flamin' Hot? I was going to ask you if they were the Flamin' Hot ones.
I'm not sure if they are. Let's find out. A Massachusetts man was recently convicted of malicious destruction of property after he attempted to burn down his ex-girlfriend's home while she was still in it, using the bizarre combination of Cheetos and a propane tank. Oh, Bobby. according
to a bag of Cheetos. Dale?
Damn it, Dale. According to the Tauntaun Gazette that went... Get it? Tauntaun? Get it?
Yeah, Tauntaun, yeah.
An investigation revealed that Shemroy Williams... That's a great name.
Shemroy.
That's
what you've got. I can't decide if we want to name our child Sherman or Roy. Yeah. I know, we'll combine them.
Yeah, because we don't want to sound like the paint company at Sherman Williams. We want it to be Shemroy Williams. tried to light his ex-girlfriend's home on fire in 5 different locations and even wedged a propane tank next to the house where there was fire burning on the back porch. Reportedly, police located him roughly 100 yards from the home. Why am I having deja vu? I feel like we've heard this story. Have we heard this story?
Because we talk about people just like this all the time. Like, I'm trying to set my girlfriend's house on fire using a snake.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also, these were not Flamin' Hot Cheetos. They were normal kind, so... There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That was the problem.
That was the important.
Cool Ranch.
Yeah, there's your mistake. You know,
Cool Ranch just doesn't light.
You know, we like here. We like the jalapeno ones. They're all we can eat. Like if I'm given Cheetos, I can't do the normal ones anymore. That's it. I got to have these new ones. They're so amazing. They're not good for you, though.
I
don't eat them.
I have not had a Cheeto in maybe years, certainly months. I don't think I've had a Cheeto. I don't think a Cheeto has entered this face in 2016.
Entered your face via the Oriful mouth, or what are we talking there?
That's
probably
right. And through any orifice. Okay. Like I haven't stuck Cheetos in my ears, up my nose, or in my mouth. Yeah, no Cheeto has entered this face in 2016.
All right. Don't we have a Cheeto thing? Yeah.
Don Cheeto.
There you go, Don Cheeto.
Yeah. That's the one you pull off, huh?
Uh-huh. Anyway, there's that. I went about 15 years before eating another Cheeto because when I was a kid, I was probably 8 or 9. I ate a bunch of Cheetos and jumped on the couch a whole bunch, and it made me sick, and I barfed the Cheetos everywhere.
Oh, man. I bet that was like some fluorescent.
It's bad.
Fluorescent yawn.
I think they threw the couch out, literally. Like, they didn't keep the couch.
Yeah, I think you'd have to.
Move. It was so bad. And move. Burn it to the ground. Salt the earth. But I couldn't eat another Cheeto for like 15 years because it just made me sick to even look at them. Now I'm fine with them. They're fine now. A cop broke into a car to free a frozen woman. There's an old lady in this car, and he thought, oh no, it's freezing cold. Like today, here it's like 7 degrees today. It was so cold. Right. And so they got inside and they were like, ah, here's the old lady we're saving. And it turns out it was a mannequin the whole time.
Now I saw the video of this on the news and holy, it's a life like it's one I think they must use for
CPR
training or something like that. Yeah, it's she looks real.
That's exactly what it is. They revealed later it's a sales manager for a medical training and aid manufacturer. So this guy's got a ton of these these CPR robot looking units.
Right.
And this one is meant to look like an elderly patient who you would perform CPR on. And, you know, you're supposed to be careful. Their ribs are more brittle, you know, like all that stuff. So it's very lifelike. And they were really worried because they're looking in the window, which is kind of fogged as it is with the cold and everything. And it just looks like a dead person sitting there.
They're tapping on the window. She's not responding, but her eyes are wide open. Yeah. Her hands are up in the air.
Yeah. And apparently it was super realistic and, you know. I guess
you want to bet he was trying to drive in the HOV lane.
Probably. I've actually seen people do that. It's not just a It's not just a fun idea.
There was a thing you could get, the women could get, I mean, there was some dumb name like the Manpanion or something like that, where you could put it in your car so that you wouldn't get carjacked or something. I mean, it was basically it was targeted towards women to have to look like they've got a guy in the car with them so that they,
it was really called the Manpanion. That is a ridiculous name.
It was something dumb like that. Like the dude plus one or something like that. I can't remember what it was called, but it was some dumb name. And I think that was the reason that it didn't take off.
Manpanion. That's pretty good. All right. Here's one final story. There's a 47-year-old burger sitting in the Alberta legislature building. So there's a burger basically as old as us, Brian, sitting in Alberta under glass. Budget debates aren't always the most interesting process, but a single throwaway gesture made it the middle of one for more than 45 years ago, led to one of the strangest items you'll find inside a government library, a plastic encased hamburger. The year was 1969. And the members of the Legislative Assembly of Alberta, Canada, were deliberating an interim supply bill. During the discussion, an independent member named Clarence Copathorn rose to his feet and offered a suggestion of his own. He says, when talking about supply, one thing we should supply us with right upstairs is good nourishment at noon. Like a little joke for lunch, right?
Yeah.
He then reached into his desk drawer and pulled out a rather limp hamburger, complete with relish and onions from the legislative cafeteria. This will give you something to look at, he says. The honorable ministers can ask themselves why we can't do something about this, meaning it was a kind of a crappy burger. It ended up somehow getting left somewhere, basically preserved itself, and now it sits under glass as this 47-year-old hamburger. So,
sounds like Copathorn really just wanted to work in a way of showing his hamburger to to the assembly, right? Like... They're talking about something else, right? An interim supply bill. I know I can work this in to show them my hamburger that I've been keeping in my desk.
I love that idea. He just really wanted to show his hamburger so bad. Look at this terrible hamburger. It's been under a heat lamp too long, eh? Look at this.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a great story.
Oh, jeez.
Favorite story of the day. All right. We're going to take a very quick break, talk about skills, both yours and mine, and we'll be right back. Hey, mobile esports fans. I know you exist because I hear from you guys. Well, I'm going to tell you about something pretty cool here. This entire episode is brought to you by Skillz, Skillz. Lets you play mobile games you love and win real cash prizes. You're already playing them. You may as well win, okay? So here's what you're going to do. Every Skillz game is free to play. That's important. But what's really cool is that you also have the option of competing for real cash prizes. That's right, you can win real money playing games on your phone, like you're already doing. In fact, you can win up to $100 in a single tournament with entry fees as low as a penny. Skillz offers a variety of games for iOS and Android devices, including puzzles, bubble popping, bowling, pool, solitaire, trivia, and more. The whole gamut, really. In addition to tournaments, you can also compete with other players head-to-head. Skills matches you against players with a similar skill level, so the competition is always fun and fair. Compete whenever you want and win cash prizes for playing the games you already love. Visit skills.com/frogpants, that's skills with a Z, to earn more and download your favorite free games. Try it for free, and when you make your first deposit, Skills will double it. And when you enter the promo code FROGPANTS, you'll get an extra $10 in free bonus cash on top of that. That's right, skills.com/frogpants. And we thank them very much for sponsoring today's show. Thanks. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk with Major Spoilers. We'll come back with Steven Schleicher. We'll spend a little time with him. It's always a good time. But before that, Brian brought music, and we're here to hear it.
I did. And this one is going out to Major Dumperoo and the Tadpool. I'm saluting you right now, Major Dumperoo. He heard a great song that he liked from an independent artist, and he did the legwork to go get permission. That's exactly what I want you to do.
Started cooking yet.
I don't know why that's playing. I apologize.
You just wanted a way to work in your hamburger, Scott.
Damn it.
He found an artist named Becca Menkari that he heard on All Songs Considered over on NPR and said, oh my God, that'd be a great song to get onto TMS. I want to figure out how to do it. He did. He contacted Becca and got permission and then forwarded that permission over to me. Clickety click. And it's great. It's really, really good. It's from her single from last year, self-titled single, Summertime Mama. Here is Becca Menkari.
Here it is. We'll be right back.
Can sing.
Who's not ready to push a button yet? Here it is.
It's been a rough day.
Found it.
You'd almost expect one of these ingenious dolls to come to life. She does. Alive and stylish with her long bishop sleeves, wide belt, and picture hat.
That feels great on my abs.
The sensation of Europe, now made in America by Samsonite. This is the Morning Stream.
Oh, look at us. We're back, everybody. That was a nice little song. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's got a nice twang to it.
I'd like more. I'd like to listen to more.
Okay. I'll let you listen to more.
I think I'll listen to more at some point.
USPS guy is putting a package on my doorstep.
Oh, nice. What are you expecting today?
Ringing the doorbell. I'm the only one here, too.
Go sign it.
I don't know.
Go sign it if you have to.
All right, be right back.
Go ahead. I'll talk to the chat room.
Get Steven.
I'll get Steven in here. Don't know what the deal is. Okay. What are we doing right now? We're getting Steven all up in this biznatch. You know him as Steven Schleicher. And he's been added to the call. That means I can play his deal, which is right here. Steven Schleicher, everyone. Hello. What's going on?
Good morning.
How's it going, man?
It's going.
You ever have one of those days where everything's just like a shit show? You just can't get anything right?
Yeah, pretty much 24/7, 365 here.
Today's worse than usual for me. I just feel like nothing was set up right. Nothing worked right. I don't know. I'll quit complaining. People at home are like, all right, Scott, we get it. You had a bad day. So you had a bad day. I like that song. Hey, Steven, let's get into it with you here. My understanding is you saw Star Wars Rogue One or Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. You saw that in 3D.
Yeah, I did see it in 3D. It's probably not as nausea-inducing unless you are susceptible to that.
Yeah.
But there were some times where things seemed just a little odd, but it wasn't too bad. I think the biggest problem was, to me, it seemed really, and this could be the fact that maybe they didn't clean the glasses off good enough, Scott.
Yeah.
But it just looked foggy. The whole thing looked kind of foggy and smoky throughout the entire movie. So I'm thinking maybe they didn't wipe down those glasses from the stuff on it.
The other thing, and I'm with you there because you know how I feel about those glasses. But I got this. I have this thought. The movie was dark, generally speaking, and I don't mean tonally. I mean, like, it was kind of dark. Like, just the lighting was really dark. Lots of contrasty sort of scenes and stuff. And that probably didn't help.
You are not the first person to notice that because, and here you go, Brian. Here's a Brian story for you. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting down. I'm three rows back from the screen. I like to sit up front so it just fills my whole vision.
Yeah.
And then a couple sits down behind me. And you know, they're just making some small chat. I'm not really paying any attention. Then all of a sudden, and she's like, I'm really excited we're here together tonight.
Yeah,
me too. I'm excited for this movie.
And then she's like, and then she's like, they're kissing some more. And then she's like, I can't wait till later.
Ugh.
Can you?
Ugh.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I can't wait till later either.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So how long did this start?
And he's like, "Why is it so dark?"
dude, I would have died. I would have laughed, and I would have died.
I was just like, "Oh my god, please don't let them do this through the entire movie." And they stopped.
Okay, good.
But that was good.
That was the right thing to do to stop. That's what I'm.
That was the right thing to do, or at least I was more focused on the movie than them making out behind me.
So as far as the film itself goes, what'd you come away with? Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I think here's one cool takeaway that I think it's not really a super spoiler because everyone knows that Forest Whitaker is in this movie playing a character called Saw Gerrera.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is in the Star Wars movies, we have seen an entire evolution of a character in the form of Darth Vader from young boy to his eventual end in Return of the Jedi. Spoiler alert there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But Saw Gerrera also gets an entire arc because he appears first in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and then he will appear again next month in Star Wars Rebels when it comes back from its a hiatus. So we are getting, the same character in three different points of his life, and we're getting a complete arc for that story. So or for that character. And so for people who are like, man, it sure would be great if they could tie more of Clone Wars or Rebels into the greater movie universe, this character is doing that.
They've
so
totally
that is
done
really
it,
cool.
Yeah. And now here's the question, though. Is it Forrest Whitaker across the board or just somebody else?
No, there's a different voice actor who does the animated series stuff.
Somehow
his name is
that.
Andrew Kishino,
okay.
I think is how you say his name.
I missed all that somehow. I didn't know that they... I didn't know that was a thing, that there was, this character was carried throughout a lot of that stuff.
I still haven't seen a single episode of Star Wars Rebels, but I hear it's something I should check out for sure.
Yeah.
Man, if you start watching it from the beginning, you're going to like turn it off right away.
The thing is to power
through like the first six episodes and then it gets better from there.
Oh, really?
And then suddenly by the time you hit season two and the animated movies that they had in between seasons, suddenly it's like, wow, this is really good. You're starting to see the rebellion form. And you really get a sense of why they're doing this against the Empire.
Did the same thing with Clone Wars, I thought. It seemed like that first season was a little rough. You had to kind of power through it, and then things got real good. So
yeah.
I guess following
is
suit.
Is it streaming? Do you know where it's streaming?
Netflix.
I don't know if it's on.
Netflix has it.
I think it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But certainly you can buy the seasons on iTunes.
Yeah, Netflix has Rebels for sure. I don't think it's that they're not up to current with the current run or the current season, but they've got everything behind that, so you could catch up.
Okay, cool.
I want to watch that too. I have done the same. I just keep thinking, oh, I'll get to it, and maybe now it's time I got to it. But I really liked it, and I want to see it again. And my kids adored it, and Kim loved it, and there wasn't any real dissent with my group. We all really liked it.
You know, I'm kind of in between you and Jerry because I thought it was a good movie. There were parts of it that I was really troubled with. There were parts of it that I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then there were parts it's like, man, I wish technology were about 20 more years down the road.
So I know the stuff you're talking about.
There's two characters that are in this movie that I'm just like, wow.
Right.
You're not. It just doesn't quite work.
So we'll talk. Let's briefly just touch on this Uncanny Valley problem. I know who you're talking about and when you're talking about it. And absolutely, there's some Uncanny Valley. However, what I found to be interesting is Nick, who knew that one of those characters whose original actor has long died.
Right.
He knew that he saw it and said, oh, yeah, that's it's CGI or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He thought the final scene, the other one, he thought that was real. The flip side happened with Carter. She didn't know that one guy was no longer with us. So she thought that was real, and she knew that the other one was fake because there's no way that
Tina,
she could be that young.
Tina was the same way as Carter.
Mm. Yeah. See, that's interesting, isn't it? Like, there are people who just don't know much about... Well, I'm just going to say Peter Cushing. It's not a spoiler, okay? people who don't know Peter Cushing is dead or have any idea who that actor is, they are not finding that problem. And I think that's interesting because I think our brain is like, oh, wait, Now you're really seeing the Uncanny Valley. Now, all of that being said, and I noticed it too, I became very quickly totally okay with it. And I'm not sure why, because normally this drives me up a wall. In like Tron Legacy, I hated it. Couldn't freaking stand it. Like that CGI version of, what's his name? Jeff Bridges was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the problem is for me, it worked in the wide shots and the wider shots. But the minute you got into really good close-ups of the faces, I was like, nope.
I was weirdly okay with it.
There's some weird emotions. There's some weird things going on with the faces where they're like, well, that's not a move like an eyebrow raise that you would see in a real person.
Yeah, it felt hand-animated.
It seemed like a forced animated bit. So
yeah,
that was my biggest problem with
it. They were definitely kind of hand-animated in a way that felt off. But for whatever reason, it worked for me, and I don't know why. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why I actually liked it and looked forward to seeing him again. I kept waiting to see him more. Like, ooh, I hope I get another scene with, like, CGI Peter Cushing. I really want to see him again. And I don't know why I felt that way. It was weird, but I totally get why some would find that a hugely disconnecting moment. But I didn't. Yeah. I liked it.
You drank the blue milk, Scott.
I guess I drank the blue milk.
Finally drank the blue milk.
And the blue milk, look for blue milk. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to spoil it, but there's blue milk in this movie.
Wow. They call me major spoilers.
I'm just just saying, watch for it. That's
what,
all.
What part of that did you keep close to the vest? It's like, not... which part of that did you refrain from spoiling?
I know, but there's no. It's just blue milk. It's no big deal. It's just blue milk, everybody. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there's that. I'm glad that went well for everybody, and that there's going to be more talk about that later today. All right. Meet the voice cast of Disney's DuckTales. I saw this video, and it cracked me up, and I thought it was great, and I loved everybody who was in it. And then suddenly David Tennant appeared, and I went, oh, my gosh, the Purple Man. What is he doing? How is Doctor Who in this?
If you thought 2016 was a dumpster fire, 2017 is already kicking 2016's ass with the voice cast for DuckTales, which is coming out next summer to Disney XD. Of course, as you said, David Tennant is Scrooge McDuck, so you actually get someone with a real Scottish accent playing a Scot. Mm-hmm. You got Danny Pudi as Huey. What's his name? Ben Schwartz as Dewey.
Abed from Community.
And Bobby Moynihan is Louie. So you got Huey, Dewey, and Louie already cast. Beck Bennett is playing Launchpad McQuack, and Kate Miguchi from Garfunkel and Oates is playing Webby Vanderduck.
Oh, I love her.
Now, I don't know how you say Tok's last name, but Mrs. Beakley will be back as well. Okay. But they have not announced anyone for Donald Duck, Gyro Gearloose, Magic of Dispel, or any of the others regulars that you see in the DuckTales shows as of yet.
Well, that's a pretty impressive voice lineup, Donald Duck. I agree, but Donald Duck,
you just
have any old Donald Duck impersonator do it, right? Like, they don't need anybody
special. I don't know what they do on, like, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and stuff, but I'm going to guess that there is a set voice for Donald Duck across their properties.
Yeah.
And so there's probably a good chance that the person voicing Donald Duck on the other Disney animated TV shows will also do the voice there.
Right. One thing I was worried about is, was this going to be CGI? Was it going to be a different style? Like, what were they going to do stylistically speaking?
And the style is quite a bit different.
The style is so cool.
It is, though.
Yeah, it's super cool. Like, chat here, you can see this image here. It looks very 2D. This is definitely not like some 3D CGI looking thing, which is I think is delightful.
It doesn't look like classic Disney DuckTales that you may know. It kind of has a more modern twist to the animation style that some people may not like. But it also feels very retro at the same time, like what you would see in a 1950s kind of look.
Yeah.
And I think it's a cool style. I want to see how it plays out, but it's definitely very, very nice.
I'm all in on it. And I'm not even that big a fan of DuckTales. I feel like that was a, I don't know, you all what? Three of us are about the same age, right? But that it seems like
I
it was a little late.
DuckTales.
Yeah, but we were like in our 20s, man, right? Yeah.
No, DuckTales came out in like 88, I want to say.
Was it?
So we were still in high school.
DuckTales, hold on. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, because they had the original movie was broken up into like a 2 or 3 part.
Well, you're right.
This is in 1987. Yeah,
87. You're not
really
wrong.
Wow.
Did I just not have Disney Channel or something?
Well, the problem was it was syndicated on, I mean, for me, it was like one of the UHF channels.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even a main channel.
Yeah.
And so you really had to look for it. We had it in our area. So I was with it from the beginning and loved every minute of it.
I hope it can achieve the two things it needs to achieve, making old fans happy and bringing in new fans. And maybe it just needs to do like the pony show does. You know what I mean? Like the My Little Pony deal where they modernized it up and gained like a legion of new fans, but it also made old fans happy. I hope they can do that. That'd be great. And this is actually something I'm looking forward to. So I need more animation in my life. You know, if 2016's taught me anything, animation's a great place to escape from all this BS. It is. It's great. Just sit around, watch some Futurama, catch some episodes of Bob's Burgers, go watch Rebels. Like there's a lot of great stuff out there. And you know, this year we're getting that third season or whatever, or fourth season of Young Justice on Netflix, which I can't wait for. There's all kinds of good stuff. The DC movies alone, Steven.
You
can sit all night.
Wonder Woman
watch
coming
those.
Up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonder Woman. You got your Aquaman there doing his thing.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Let's tell me about the Red Dragon Trophy. What the hell's that?
Now, I know some of the Tadpoolers and the other people that listen to the show do their game rooms up in like an old tavern style, like a Dungeons and Dragons tavern kind of thing. Wizards of the Coast and WizKids are teaming up for this giant Red Dragon head mounted to a plate. It's like a wall trophy, like you've gone out and slain a red dragon and you've mounted its head onto your wall. They're coming out with this thing in 2017. We don't know the price yet. but it's pretty hefty. It's pretty big. Weighs about 20 pounds. And the detailing on this looks fantastic. It's a lot smaller than what Tom and Veronica had on Sword and Laser. But I think a lot of people may get a kick out of this. And if you are someone who likes to dress your room up in a medieval style or a Dungeons and Dragons style, you might want to check this out when it arrives next year. Probably around summertime, I think, is when it's coming out.
Are the dragons in the D&D universe smart? Or are they the kind of just some of them are,
yeah.
Ones? Okay.
They get smarter the older they get.
And they
like
can talk.
Smog type mm-hmm. dragons?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like those kind. I like the kind that are mm-hmm. smart. But saying that, I also think that Reign of Fire was a rad movie, even though they were just vicious animal dragons.
You know, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
What about, what was the movie where Sean Connery, where the dragon was Sean Connery's?
Hold on. Oh, shite. What is
Dragonheart?
That? Dragonheart.
Dragonheart.
Yeah.
Him and Dennis, I almost said Dennis Leary. Dennis Quaid was the...
That's what it was. Yes. Okay.
Was the brave guy. And they had a sequel and everything. Oh, we should watch that for Film Sack. What are we doing?
You better melt my head on the wall, dog.
You ever lose your car keys? I have to do it every time. All right. Well, this is all well and good. Anything else happening on the site people should be paying attention to there, Stephen?
No, we're kicking off an Eldritch Horror run on Munchkin Land, so people can go check that out sometime this week. I thought it was going to be up today, but it's not. Mm. But it'll be up sometime this week on the YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video.
Nice. I always like to go there and see these things, so I will do that. I hope you have a fantastic... We're not going to see you until next year. No, next week. Maybe.
Yeah, I'll be here next
week. Okay.
Unless you're not.
Yeah. By next year, I meant after the first. That's what I meant.
We'll be here next week and next year.
Yeah, you'll be here for the 2017 debut Monday or whatever we do. But in the meantime, have a great Christmas with you and yours.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes, you too, man.
See ya.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay, hang up on him. There we go. All right, Brian, we're done with this here show that we've done.
Wow, excellent.
Yeah, we've done a show. And we're going to leave now. Before we do, though, a reminder, you can go to frogpants.com/TMS and find all our pertinent links. That includes a way to support us at Patreon, patreon.com/TMS. If you want to go directly there, there's also a link on the page. So go whichever way you go, you'll get there. frogpants.com/TMS. Our contact details are there. What day is it? When's our closing for the video thing?
Right. Yeah, that's going to be the 28th.
Yes.
December 28th.
Correct.
So on the 29th, we will announce a winner, and then we'll be gone for those last couple days of the year.
Correct. Quick schedule update for today, or for this week. Brian is gone Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He'll be at that surgery, and I will have Brian Dunaway joining us again. So he is going to pop in and be your surrogate for that morning. And then no show Thursday.
It's just a replacement, Brian. Oh, no show Thursday?
No show Thursday. Going to take that one off and enjoy the holiday. Have a little extra time in the morning. Going to do some breakfast thing with the kids or something.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. And, cool. It'll give you a chance to convalesce in whatever way is needed with Tina.
Take care
and
of the infirmed Tina.
Yeah.
I'm planning on not only being at the hospital for the surgery, I'm going to see if they'll let me actually into the surgery room so I can kind of say, oh, no, don't do that.
Can you periscope it? You need to periscope it.
I will periscope Tina's lumpectomy. Yeah, perfect.
I'm sure she'd love that. She would not be, she'd have no problem with
first.
It. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to go viral.
I wonder if anyone's done that. Has anyone ever tried? I know there was that doctor last week that used the, what's it called? The Snapchat glasses, the spectacles or whatever, and filmed entire surgery with those on. On purpose. I mean, with everyone's approval and everything. But it was like a learning thing or whatever. I wonder if you can actually even do that. I wonder if you could be like, the operating theaters, Brian, where the junior mint fell down.
Junior mint. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you go up in there and take your phone out and just,
No, I think they only have those in teaching hospitals.
Oh, so scrubs then. Damn it.
Right. Yeah. Scrubs. And, ER was a teaching hospital as well.
I think so.
Chicago General. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Something like that. I wish that show was streaming. I'd watch it again.
It was so good.
It was really good. You forget how good. It's Michael Crichton joint. It's good stuff.
That's right.
And there's an episode directed entirely by Quentin Tarantino, which I always thought was super weird, but it's in there. All right, let's get out of here. Do you have music for us? You probably do.
I have music.
Okay.
And This is great. Hey, Scott and Brian, says Jamie. On December 16th, my beautiful little girl will be turning one. Well, she just did. This is remarkable considering she was just born yesterday. Wait, what? It actually was a year ago? Wow, how time flies. It's been an incredible year, and I can't fathom a world without my sweet little girl, Ember. I know you're the king of covers, and I'm a super sappy dad who's head over heels in love with his little girl. Please find me a song that truly demonstrates the immense love we have for our kids as fathers. Love the show, as always. Signed, Jamie.
Oh, that's so nice. Even though we lose Bob Pedersen every time, that's so nice. I loved it.
Every time. Yep. See you, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
So when I think of music and songs from daughters to their fathers, there's Al Martino's Daddy's Little Girl, which I always had to play at weddings whenever there was the father-daughter dance. God, I hate that song. Mm-hmm. But the cool people, yeah, when I did weddings, had this one play. And they would have the original version. They'd have Stevie Nicks and the song that she wrote for her father called Landslide. But it's covers, right? At the end of TMS, so we've got to play a cover of it. And I'm not going to do the Dixie Chicks version. You can go find that one. It's good. I'm not going to do the Smashing Pumpkins version because that's good as well. But nope, this version's also really, really good. It's by Britta Phillips, and she recorded it on her brand new album, Luck or Magic. This could be one of your favorite songs for 2016. You could go to coverville.com/radio and rate it when it comes up. Request it and then rate it. Britta Phillips and her cover of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide.
I took my love, I took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down.
Well, I've been afraid. show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
They haven't even started cooking yet.